Welcome, welcome. This is Melting Titanium number 51, recorded on March 30th. Copyright 2010, New Grandview Incorporated. All rights reserved. And we're starting at 6:03 p.m.
Welcome, one. Welcome all for all the news that is news across the non-physical nation.
Well, welcome, Island. Now, Carolyn, JW has been sending songs for us to play. It's lousy. But it looks like Ion is aware of it. He named one, United States of Tara. I think that's one, but I haven't listened to it.
Well, one of my other nicknames is Tar.
Well, then you drew attention to yourself. You take the ball for a little while I recover from my shower.
Lord have mercy. His physical must be waiting if he has to recover from bathing, honey. It's with there. Hey, what you got to say about your world while you're supper preparing?
Well, my world is pretty amazing, actually. We went to the beach, and I get to snorkel in my favorite snorkeling area. The reason why we're a bit late is I'm not as fast walking home as Bob. I think by walking slow, it slowed Bob down and made him tired.
We knew it was looking for something. We just didn't know what. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's all right. Mm-hmm. He'd just been on a seat and do nothing today already anyhow.
Right.
You know how that goes.
Well, let me say, it's not really I'm tired. It's that I haven't had time to clean out the shower place, which I like to complete the shower. It's not really more
for you. You mean you came in and brought dirt into your house, Bob?
I knocked on the roof. Water I used in the shower.
Okay.
He's got to wash the water. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the water in the shower. There we go.
When Bob's at the sink, we call it the bird bath, so he probably has to swab down the walls.
It really is a good idea because that moisture and the warmth of Hawaii.
Mm.
It's a bitch in Maui. You have mildew in if you don't dry the water up. That's right.
We have our problems here too in paradise.
Bless your heart, Lord. Have mercy. It's true. It's true.
So, one of our clients today, we were talking about her disconnecting. The phones were falling away, but she was asking me about what I experienced when I am in another world, and I said, well, I don't usually like to talk about it because it's so individual, and then I sort of started talking about it, and as soon as I did, the phone disconnected, and so we called her back, and she said, oh, it happened again. I said, no, that was my fault, because I just wonder about talking about parallel worlds, if that is something that we seem to be doing it on cash flow and tailgate, but I mean, that's what Ion over the months has said. If you're getting to an enlightened place, you don't really talk about it. So have those rules kind of changed for people?
No, they have not. They have not. And that's what we were going to point out. Thank you for bringing us to point. Mm-hmm. That's very wonderful while Bob's swapping the sticks down.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is those that have achieved what you're calling, we'll use your words because they're nice words. We like your words.
Mm-hmm.
This enlightened place, that they don't discuss it, they never have. Doesn't mean that they don't. Doesn't mean that they shouldn't. Doesn't mean that it's taboo. They just don't. These marvelous, selfish human creators are so selfish when they get something figured out, they want to hold it to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's rules about that, then yes, those are rules. But if there's not rules, because we ain't got a dog in the fight, and they ask us, and we answer.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of like, oh, crap, now what do we do with it? We got the answer. Now what was the question?
Okay.
So that's sort of what happened. Now, many human creators, because they think
Is it through ION I get all the landing spaces?
No, never. Don't.
No, no, I know what you mean. I was actually thinking about the shower and how I've studied cults for 40 years.
And yeah, not to figure out.
To figure out something. Yeah, to figure out something.
To navigate all proximities. Let's say in a different way. You wanted to weigh every option possible to make sure the options you chose were the most feasible.
No, I agree with that. I understand that. That's what you mean.
Now, we could play with it for 40 more years if you want to. You've got enough bands to do that. But if you got it, that's good. We can go with that.
I was thinking in the shower that I didn't study cults so I could create a cult. I studied it, found out what they had to offer, and now I'm creating a non-cult cult.
JW has made it his business to pay attention to his religious beliefs and how religion works and who God is, how God applies. He can quote you scriptures just any way you want them quoted. He hid them in his heart because that's what he was taught he was supposed to do. Mm. So if you're going to railroad him on some holy Bible, you better get up pretty early in the morning. And that was not to start a religion, Lord, suffering cats. No, no, no. But it was to understand it, to complete it. And that's delicious.
You mean to understand religion and then complete it?
No, to not start a religion, to offer any dynamic where someone would have a question about the scriptures, not religion, but the scriptures, that it can be cleared up instantaneously. And that's very delicious.
And that was what he studied, and that prepared him for ION.
Yes, it made it logical. It worked it out in his mind where he understood it. And in an understanding of it, he didn't push against it.
He checked out the Bible in detail. I checked out all the pagan stuff in the some of the Bible. I checked out everything. So we both did the same thing.
Well, some would say that a lot of the Bible was based on the pagan.
Yeah, I know.
All the Old Testament came from Samaria. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. I understand that. No, the point was that we both checked out our respective fields in depth.
But you were much more thorough than J.W. Bob. You know that.
Well, he was more thorough on the Bible.
Yeah.
He stayed in the Bible. I was more thorough checking out everything else that was going on.
Yeah, so it made a nice twirl.
Yeah.
You still get chocolate, so
all So once I showed up, I learned about the Bible, and J.W. learned about everything else.
Okay, neither push against either one of it.
We don't push against, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's very delicious, because otherwise, you see, you very quickly get crossways. Either J.W. was letting us be, or you in your dynamic of being moderator of this whole thing that is indeed your and Carolyn's creation.
Right.
I was thinking you, Bob, mostly you, but Carolyn had to play because she had to take which buttons to push. So credit for it.
Yeah, like, hey, Carolyn, look what I invented. Carolyn, can you tell me how to start it?
Right. And Carolyn, now I've got it started. Can you tell me what it's for?
Yeah,
fine. So, Bob, you are indeed the head of your household. Carolyn's just the neck that turns the head.
Let's see where your gaze is. That's right. And there may be parts she's not showing me.
That's okay. She knows better than to start something that she don't want to start anything that causes questions that she's got to answer. You just do it and roll with it. So we are so glad to have Carolyn back on this terra firma. Oh, we have missed her so.
Okay, let's go back. I'll just say one more thing. So, yes, we created this, and I was thinking today how I prepared myself to be the moderator by not knowing anything and letting it all happen. So that
by relaxing,
relaxing and thinking. I relax and thought.
Yes, because you don't allow much to question everything. And what the questions are. Now, Carolyn, you were just fixing to get into something real delicious before we had to unswap the shower. We were really getting into something that was pretty delicious, and this is your forethought place of overlaying. You've had some experiences, and we don't care that you go into them or not. What we want from you is engagement regarding questions that you would have about your new place of querying regarding any anomalies that would have occurred in your past travels.
What I realized, and JW gave me the heads up to do this, is that it's all about the anomalies.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in a situation and something seems out of place or out of sync or synchronicity, synchrony, and then that's your first clue. And then as they add up, the clues build up, so it kind of builds up into the new world you're in.
Actually, for the way you do things, personally, not Bob, you judge everything based on the empirical references that you uncover on your journey to bring light to whatever dynamic it is that you're engaging at this moment. Okay? You don't run around telling everybody, magnesium is it, magnesium is it, until you know. And the only way you know is you uncover every dynamic. How much is too much? How much applies? What is good for? How it helps? How it can bring you into a place of balance? How it becomes a malevolent nutrient that your body is missing sometimes and you don't notice that you're short of? And bringing that back, that whole place, you don't run around saying, do this, do this, do this, and see how you go. When you tell them, you're pretty clear about what you know in regards to what they're speaking of symptomatic disease. That's not bad. In no place do you find or push against most anything unless it is the dogma that's attached. Now, we're talking about medicine right this hot second, but the dogma that's attached to how medicine is supposed to be approached. For example, you can take a citrate of magnesium in the wrong way, and it won't bring magnesium in your system. It'll make you work like a dose of salts. So
yeah, I need the empirical reference stuff, and I'm adding up all the anomalies, and at a certain point, they all add up to a bingo for me.
And then that bingo then becomes not the standard by which all others are judged. It becomes the in place for other human creators to then consider. Have you found anyone on the planet that's allergic to magnesium yet?
No, there's no allergies. No.
Well, no. If you want to make some, you could. But
true.
There's no one that says that they take your magnesium and then their throat swells shut and they have to have an EpiPen and anaphylactic shock and projectile vomiting or
no.
Their rectum swells
shut. No. What point are you getting at? What are you getting at?
Well, we're trying to make the point of when you suggest it from that dynamic, it's a tried and true process. Now, someone else, if you give them erythromycin and they have an allergy to it,
mm-hmm.
You better know that before you start giving it.
Yeah, but most doctors don't.
Exactly. And there you go. And there's your dynamic that allows this process, the one that we're talking about now, which is not medicine, of noticing the anomalies. Because
mm-hmm.
That's how you chart. That's how you know. We didn't say everybody. We said you. When you chart, it's a flow. It's a debater's flow. Every single anomaly is and the references thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this amount had this effect. This amount, when they peed in the cup, made it be like this. This amount did this. So then it's just a tweaking process of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the AMA don't like. They do not like it because they find no need, pardon the pun, for a physician.
What do you mean they find no need for a physician?
If they did what you did, they'd work themselves out of a job.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Now, in your world, that'd be the best day ever. Hip, hip, hooray. No more calls. We're good. Everybody's good. Disease free. We're good.
So back to the world, what JW was saying about me coming back last night is I had to be back before sunset on Passover in order to make the fifth gate, and I was not back.
Yes, you were.
I was not back before dark.
You went to the gate before dark.
Okay.
And you know that by when you were watching the sun, it just kept going down, but then wouldn't. And then all of a sudden, it was like gone. Oops.
Yes.
Well, you were chasing it through that gate. And didn't he send you some mail saying that you just went through the gate, or you'll go in a few minutes?
Yeah, but I thought it meant the gate at the airport.
Look at your time. That was exactly when that would have been. It would have been at 8:35 Easternly Standardly Time.
Yeah, that's when I was really looking at the timing and the sunset and everything. And yeah, that feels right.
So 3.5 hours into her flight, she went through the gate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were chasing the sun so that you could catch up to it and get there before the sun went down.
Mm-hmm. And that's when the gate closed because of the anomaly. We worked this out a week ago or so, some time ago. Full moon, Passover, and the 29th.
So when Carolyn was in flight, she goes through the gate and then the sun went down. And you witness it going down, girl.
No, it's like Ion is saying. I kept seeing the, you know, we were just chasing the sun, and all of a sudden it was dark, and it's like, man, where am I?
And that was before you landed, when you experienced the dark.
Right.
And so you thought you missed the gate, but you'd already gone through the gate.
Right. But I wasn't worried. It didn't bother me.
Right. What didn't bother you? That you didn't...
That you did or didn't.
That I did or didn't. That was fine.
So, if you had Tater's credit card, you were okay. You drug something back from the other world. And you knew if you got back to this world with that, that you had been there and drug it back home.
Okay.
So
yes,
there's your proof. Make you a copy of that just to file away forever and ever and ever. Mm-hmm. That's great fun.
What's the proof, Carolyn? What happened?
JW and I are saying that the credit card I found and brought back is a card from someone in the parallel world that I was in.
So when you went through the gate, it was shortly after that Carolyn suddenly experienced dark.
Mm-hmm.
You experienced the dark and you felt surprised, yet you'd gone through the gate, so that might be why you had a feeling you didn't know where you were, because you'd gone through the gate.
Typically when the sun goes down, it's not like flipping off a light switch. For Carolyn, it was like sunset, 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 bam. And it was like getting dark. It was like dark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was that because that's everybody's experience on the plane?
Yes, except for that other fella who was having too much to drink in first class with you.
He didn't notice anything because he was...
He didn't know where he
right.
was.
She had this feeling that the lights went out real fast.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if that feeling had nothing to do with the fact the lights went out, but that she had gone through the gate. And was slightly disoriented.
No, it wasn't disoriented. It was a noticing, paying attention to the anomalies, which is what she just got through saying.
Right.
And once she went through the gate, this thing that would have normally gotten real soft, you know, like if you're at the beach super late and it's getting dusky dark, well, the sun's going down, but you can still see your feet in front of your face. Well, this was like you flipped off a switch, and it was like there was light, 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 and then all of a sudden it was like poof, straight dark. With a full
So you're saying that was an anomalous experience she felt?
One of many, yes.
Yeah.
You know, did all the others.
Yeah, and that's, with the moon, it just sort of popped up all of a sudden.
That's your beat and a half. That was your beat and a half. And that's why if you'd have been later or on a later flight, mm-hmm. you could have never caught up to that anomaly mm-hmm. because you'd had no reference point to notice the anomaly thereof.
The anomaly of the moon?
The anomaly of all of it.
What is all of it? All the anomalies or the light turning off?
We say yes because we don't know where one anomaly ended and the other began. It's a string process, but it's not based on string theory. It's a string of a linear progression of a parallel experience. So when you start running a parallel line next to a parallel line and one of the lines goes askew and the other line doesn't, it's no longer parallel. And once you lose your reference point, how do you know where you are? And that's why we've done this and done this and done this, and Carolyn was like trying to remember and all this stuff. Well, if you didn't have the anomalies lined up, you never knew when you would jump from one parallel line to the next parallel line. And that's the anomaly. That's why we say if you come back 1 minute before you left, you can have a great experience and remember none of it. We've done that and done that and done that. My God, you burnt your arm, you broke feet. Punishment.
you catch tuberculosis.
That's right.
By being in another world?
No, by running in a parallel stream and trying to jump and get ahead of yourself. Your body is responding. Otherwise, why would they do a skin test, an irritant, the test for TB? Because your body knows more than your mind knows from a reasonable test.
You're saying they do the test because the body knows more? Experienced the anomaly of the light switched off, she thought, oh, that's odd, and she thought about how she didn't make it in time.
No, she thought about the anomaly. That was all.
She experiences
both click, click, and one flies, one.
Right, and that anomalous feeling, that feeling of the anomaly, noticing it, that's a sign you slipped from one world to another.
That you successfully jumped from one parallel linear pathway to another parallel linear pathway. And this is why we had to get through this sort of hand in hand, because once Carolyn gets this, and she kind of has now, so now it's not what do you think or what do I know about this. Now it's I've experienced it. And for me, this experience was an vindicatable, validatable, documentable reality regarding my reality. Now having conversation regarding it, of how to, we never said you jump from one line to another.
Is that the word whisk?
It is, but it's from a linear standpoint. Because, see, we keep saying that it's not a linear process that you're living here on planet Earth because of the time. But when you're talking about from one world stream to another world stream, it is linear. We talk about parallel worlds. Well, the only thing that makes them parallel is the proximity between you and it.
So people, they have an anomalous experience and they get all puzzled about it. And what they should realize is that when you have an anomalous experience, it's a sign that you're having a normal experience, which normality is you're going from one parallel line to another.
Yes, but to the average Joe, it's so far outside of their rules and regulations that if they agreed and took it at face value, what the words that you're sharing, they would immediately go and check themselves into the same asylum, because that would not hold with the boundaries that they had already pre-concluded was their boundaries.
In our state of awareness, when we have an anomaly, that's useful. Oh, good, I just shifted over here. Glad that I was told that by the incomprehensible anomaly.
Good, yes. But up until the present, that would have not worked, you see. You'd have been jumping into the spaceship that you saw your second reading, the spaceship in the clouds that you were able to clearly, visibly see.
You would have jumped into them if we knew there were parallel lines.
You knew then what you just found out now. You could have jumped and zipped right into it right then. But understanding that, you would have had the dissertation that was required to understand the process could have very easily tricked you off into another fantasia. It's like the impossibility drive on the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Unless you know where you're going to end up, Magna Thea, unless you know where you're going to end up, you don't want to hit the improbability drive button.
You're saying if we knew about the parallel lines, we'd have a concept of it that would throw us off.
That is correct. Good.
Now we got through this naturally. No concepts about it, but it becomes a concept that's understandable or useful.
Only now. Okay, Carolyn, so now your asking is veto complete. Your first asking that you had is now complete within a year of your beginning place. Now what do you want?
So it's coming up to Easter weekend, Carolyn. You're having your Easter resurrection.
Well, you gotta die before you have a resurrection, Bob. Or would that be double coitus?
Duty and tarot, bang, bang.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, such cheeky vernacular.
Yes.
Chitty bang, bang, not chitty bang, bang.
Resurrection. When somebody says resurrection, says, oh, you came twice. going, oh crap, wait a minute.
So pick up an anomaly, that would be an anomaly to me.
It would be very anomaly. It wouldn't for Bob, but it would for you. Then you get home with it, and then you no longer have to remember. You don't have to remember. Now you got to validate. If you can't remember, then quit trying. But if you've got the damn evidence in front of your damned eyes, then you can't have a damn question about your damned position that you're looking at right here, right now. So now you just now figured out how to remember stuff. Well, how you remember it is they show up. You don't have to remember if you're remembered. So if you're going to be a member, a participant in this parallel experiences that you're going to pull from, whatever it is, drag the crap home with you. Put it in front of your face and put it on your little table that's got to be done, got to be done, got to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll show up. And you don't have to remember. You just have to register.
I can do that.
Instantly, yes. And now you notice the anomalies because now you've already done it. Dun, dun, dun. Let's bring it home now. We've told you all that woo-woo. Now what the hell does that mean? That means that when you have a thought or a dreamed experience, you have many, but once you have a dreamed experience, then you know how to schedule and register that dream so it shows up in your reality. And how long do you have to be? Well, you just instantly, because you were so close to yourself from being able to dream it, it shouldn't take more than a day for it to show up. Because you've already validated that the distance between you and you regarding that process has got to be very close, or you wouldn't have been able to dream it so quickly that you could so quickly forget it or get it. What does forget mean? Pre-receiving. Now think about that. Oh, I forgot. I forgot. That means I pre-got it. Wait a minute, no. Forget means that I don't remember. No, it doesn't. It means pre-got. Well, if you pre-got it, no wonder you don't have to look for it anymore because you already got it. Well, you already got it. Why does this business that you're trying to do is to remember to forget? Or forget to remember to forget. Wait, we're lost. We don't understand it. No, but we don't have a clue. Because if you've already got it, why are you looking for it? Why are you trying to get it if you've already got it? I wonder if it eludes your mind because you've already got it.
Well, does that explain people who will have a parallel experience and come back before they went and not remember it? So that's a four dot.
Yeah.
In terms of the dreams, early morning I tend to have a whole...
Oh, yeah.
Take my camera with me.
And some little Swedish Norwegian goober can climb under his effing sink and go to another world and see his old crotchety self tattooed, marked up, on this beach from underneath his sink and come back and accidentally forget that
anniversary, he was like, "I'm saying."
Yeah, on anniversary.
Oh.
Okay, did I say that?
Anniversary.
Yeah, you said we're coming up to Easter and.
The resurrection.
Happy. We're building time. We don't want our audience to get all bored.
Oh, yeah, how's our audience dealing with all
that? It's deliciously engaged because they're kind of playing and some are hearing this stuff and they know it's something that they can't remember, but they do remember, but they are getting dynamic of little wisps of their non-physical, making the hair stand up on the back of their neck, making their earlobes hot. Now, if you listen close, we're telling you what you're going to hear. I was trying to stay connected, and I don't know, but my earlobes were hot. I looked in the mirror, they were red, and when I touched them, they were warm. The hair on the back of my neck, it was as though something was brushing up against me, and all my hair was standing up on the back of my neck. I felt I could feel my fingernails growing. Now, you'd have to be pretty specific to hear that one, don't you think? It was as though time stopped and I could feel my fingernails growing. I felt my muscles releasing tension in my cartilage of my sockets is where my bones connect. And it was as though it had popped out of place and back into place, except there was no pain. Do you remember in basketball, Carolyn, when people with, especially the players, they would like catch a ball and jam their finger, and you jam your finger, and the only way they get relief is to have somebody just grab a hold of it and just get up, put it between their legs, and then jerk the hand out of it to pop those little dorsals back into place. So they kind of float about, but once they do that, then they're good, and it's almost like an instant relief.
So you're describing what some people are feeling by hearing our show.
Yeah, and they don't know what to do with it.
If there are millions of ESP frequency messages going out over the land, how is it that people can pick ours up?
Well, Carolyn, there are millions of radio frequencies going through your house right now. Mm-hmm. How are you able to discern this conversation that you're engaging non-physical from Bob making noise in the background, the neighbors playing music in the background, people at the pool raising hell, the man out there that sticks and starts smoking a cigarette a little bit to make it smell? How are you going to discern between all those? Because you focus. That's how.
So people that know about melting titanium.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. They don't have to.
That's true.
Lots of people are hearing that don't know what melting titanium is, mm-hmm. because it's such a vulgarly silly name because you can't melt titanium.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a real fun show to talk about something you can't do. But we had to choose that because it would be something you wouldn't accidentally think about. Like, we could call it the Smelting Gold Show. But other people have heard of smelting gold. But they've never heard of a place where they can go say, oh, yeah, the recycling barn, that's where they melt titanium. Because it doesn't melt. So that's why that shows up. It's a synchronicity. Or would that be a synchronicity? Would that be Bob? But the synchronicity of that dynamic is how they know that this was the frequency that they were on. All right. Now they tune in on the World Wide Web and they do the flippity flop cash flowsy, cash flowsy with Bob somebody and James somebody. How do they get tuned into Achieve Radio? And even then, they got to click on something, click on something, click on something to get it then. How could they possibly tune into that frequency of bandwidth broadcasting on an Ethernet World Wide Web network when there are countless millions of threads or Earls? Hey, Earl. This dynamic is coming into a flow. Flow is how frequencies work. Reels and troughs. Your little candy buddy, Bob. That is an explanation of the megahertz frequencies that were flowing was the essence of what
what you said on that show?
Well, yeah, but nobody asked or answered or listened, so we let it go. Yeah. We thought we'd wait till we had it, just Bob and Carolyn and a few hundred thousands of our closest friends to understand it. Because everyone has candida, but some people get overrun with it, and some people couldn't get enough of it. They get so messed up, the flora and fauna get screwed up within their system, and then they got to eat Activia to get the bowels to move.
Leading edge work. It's useful for.
Oh, that's for the old postgraduate work. Yeah, got it. Okay.
The one still listening. So is it 2.3822?
8322.
With a 2 point in front of it.
Yes.
That's a great number, Karen. You use 11 and 22, and you got your skull bones 322. You got 8.
That megahertz frequency will grow candida.
Quadrant on my chart. Thompson quadrant deals with ESP, so I might have placed it accurately. No wonder Ion's quoting my chart.
Well, of course, Bob, we're trying to get you to look at it.
I can, but immune deficiency is in the Dobbs quadrant. It might have been in the Croker quadrant, chronic fatigue. Yeah, I think so. The third one was what, John? You don't know, forget it.
It makes me want to shout.
I think Ion hasn't got it right, that it ain't in the Thompson quadrant, but Anyways.
No, boy, we're talking about Crocker. Crocker. Yeah.
Yeah, the Crocker quadrant, I think, is where chronic fatigue is. Environmental allergies.
It makes me want to shout. Your heels have been shot. And also Crocker.
Environmental allergies in the Thompson quadrant. Chronic fatigue due to virtual aggravation in the Crocker quadrant.
Do you have yeast in your chart at all?
No, but chronic fatigue is the...
We resemble that remark.
Chronic fatigue to me is yeast, Carolyn.
It's very chronically fatiguing to constantly have to need something. Yes, we agree.
So, Carolyn, would there be a tendency in your patients, sensitive ones who might have lean towards ESP, have yeast?
I think that's accurate, but I guess what I wonder is why should they be made less than because of their ESP?
Who said that's less than, dear?
Well, the ones that come to me are pretty much less than by their yeast overgrowth.
No, they're less than because of their resistance to the flow of the natural flora and fauna balance within their system.
So they're not letting it flow?
Yeah, and that's why the average mind would look at people who have that as neurotic. They pick up that the person's resisting something.
Yep. And when you resist something, that's where you park it. And if you park it there long enough, even flowers will grow over it. And it makes me want to shout.
So how do you go about telling a person how to resist their ESP?
You don't. Go roll a minute. That's how you do it. And it's coming on that season, Karen. You might as well get ready. Get the antihistamines ready. It's coming. Somebody starts having problems with the time. If they see pollen, or if they can see the pollen, it's too big to have a negative effect on them. The pollen that gives them as an irritation is one they can't see, and that's what gives them what you call the hay fever and these allergy symptoms. Well, ask us how to get over that. We say, go roll your butt around in it. Go get in it. Go suck it up. Get straws and big megaphones to pipe it in. Flood the system with it. Then you get over your allergies to your allergies. Some people are allergic to being allergic.
Well, that's a way of just overstimulating your immune system. Get your antibody count up to deal with the hay fever.
To balance the overproduction of candida as well.
What's interesting about candida, though, is they call it a stealth pathogen, where it actually has coatings of protection that keep it away from the immune system. So the immune system is not able to attack it. So there's no point in rolling in it.
But yet, if you can move it around because it's so encapsulated that it's protected from itself, then guess what else it can be done? It can be moved out of your system. Because you're never going to get rid of it because people won't be able to survive. So if you can't eradicate it, then you better get easy with it. Because if you get rid of it, everybody's going to start falling over dead. Your fuel system will run too rich.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll implode or blow up or they'll make a lot of crackers because they keep needing unleavened bread. Hey, unleavened bread does not require kneading.
Unleavened bread doesn't require yeast? Is that a fact, what I'm saying?
No, unleavened bread does not require kneading.
And you don't use yeast in it.
So you knead the dough, and that's kneading the yeast, and then you create a fume. Something rises.
Well, not as long as you keep kneading it, no. The yeast naturally does what yeast does. The reason you knead dough is to get a cohesive, homogeneous structure of the dough. You're mixing, making it all be mixed up together. Stirring it up the way you like your food, all of them mixed together. Oh, wait, no, you like them one at a time.
Mm.
But if you're going to make a dough, you want to release the gluten in the flour, if you're using flour, and then that yeast makes carbon dioxide, and it makes it bubble, and makes it rise. Well, how developed that gluten is in your dough is how often or long you knead it.
So yeast creates the something that rises, Carol?
Gas, the carbon dioxide gas.
So yeast creates the gas that causes the rising. So
yes.
we need yeast, Carol? Of course, we need yeast. So if people have got extra ESP happening, they're not needing it.
It rises more and they have more candida.
They get more candida because it rises more.
Yes, and they're not needing it.
The yeast is there, and that has nothing to do with being needed or anything.
Yes, it does.
When you need it, it creates gas?
No, when you need it, you push the gas out and make it flat. There's just as much yeast in there as there ever was. When the yeast poops in the bread, has gas, farts, that flatulence is what rises up the dough. Hey, you can have the right kind of flatulence and flap your covers on your bed, Bob. But if that was trapped, it'd make a great big gas bubble after a little bit in your covers.
The yeast is making, it's shitting and making gas. You need it, and that...
pushes the gas out. It rattles the covers to make the steam.
But it pushes the gas into storage, and when you stop needing it, the gases raise the bread.
Yes, it makes it rise up, and then you can bake it and seize it and freeze it or bake it to make those strands that are fluid and dough and mix it like bread. But you don't eat bread, so you don't know.
The thing is
that's a fun frequency.
That's the dryer.
So you can go ding, ding, ding.
So
ding,
the metaphor of this yeast is people have yeast, and as the veil thins, they get more yeast because they're going to use that to rise, ascend.
Until they get too much, and then they're offended because they're out of balance.
So ESP causes more yeast to happen.
Yes, it does. It feeds it. The same frequency that the folks that are doing ESP, and science is proving it, so don't worry, it'll be over soon. But the frequency that they can pick up for people who have ESP, that can prove they have ESP, when they check the frequency that they are on, they find out that they are that frequency, megahertz frequency. And when they're on that megahertz frequency, and actually it's a subhertz, it's not really a megahertz, but anyway, they'll make up wordology to make it all work for them. So those that are in that position then also that feeds the yeast, the candida. Well, Carol, I'll tell you right quick, you've got to have candida to live. But if you start feeding the yeast, sometimes the yeast, sometimes the syndiate can overrun the host.
When you measured this 2.38 frequency, what is 2.8322. Frequency, what machine is that measured on?
Anything that gauges radio frequency. A megahertz is a radio frequency.
And you're measuring the brain insertion?
You can. The same way that they use a Geiger counter to see if you have radioactivity. You don't need to hook you up to that. They can just put a Geiger counter by you and it'll go beep, 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 beep. Depending on how radioactive you are. There's much more radioactivity than you know so far, but you'll figure it out. You'll be able to simply do a scanner. Do you remember how McCoy used to do it on Star Trek? We had the little thing, and he'd put it out and go, and he'd scan it to you, everything that was wrong with you. Well, that's registering radio frequency. Isn't that how a MRI works?
No, I don't know.
What do you want? Don't you know? If you got a sick cat, you're going to scan it. How does that pick up if it's not from the resonance of the frequency of the bouncing off of the sonar technology in a radio bound infrastructure that gives you an imagery?
You mentioned radio frequency and sonar, but ultrasound, radio frequency is a different thing, and then magnetics is a third thing, so.
Well, but they're all yeast. They're all looky bobs. They're all frequencies. We have to pile them together somehow. Otherwise, we'll come back to the conclusion that all of our analogies suck.
But when you measure radio frequency off the body, I want to know where the ESP frequency stems from, because I would think from the radionics world that every organ has different frequency.
It can, and yet a base litmus calculation from
that's the end of that section. Can't go into any more. But I'm going to move it forward. There's an interesting section here on Samaria, the original country of the first phase of fallen state. I hope that doesn't sound like a Gnostic theory. That's the problem here. But anyways, move forward to, this starts off about Easter, Passover, and Samaria. Pretty interesting history.
It is Easter. Do we want to go into the meaning of Easter or say something about that?
Not Easter yet.
No, you know, Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday.
And Thursday. And that's all screwed up, too, by the way. And now the Seder, the Passover Seder, that was real. That's cool.
And what day is that?
That's the only they survived. That was when Kellen got had to get home by sundown for.
Is there anything you want to say about Easter, how there are four crosses and eight Jesuses and four King Herod's and three Pontius Pilate, you know, give us the facts about Easter as they appear to Ion. How many guys got crucified? How many Jesuses?
The last one.
Just the last one. You want to describe something about that day, or did he go to the 14 stations to get stoned and thrown at and help the lady and this and that, you know, the old story of him carrying the cross through the town? You want to describe what actually happened if that didn't?
No, that's okay. If you take it straight out, yeah, your faith made you whole. Because the lady had an issue of blood for 14 years, so now if you don't think that won't take a little Geritol to fix you right up, then you better, you'll be able to iron poor blood for sure.
Okay, Ion, I'm not sure what you're talking about one particular thing. I'm saying the Bible describes his carrying the cross through various places. Do you have a correction of what's in the Bible, or is the Bible made up of several Jesus stories in that carrying the cross?
No, that one's pretty much the last one. It's the Sanhedrin version of this ancient Samaritan, Metopolis, Metatopolis version of how the snake was the final completion of the Lilith story from Genesis 2 all the way through the ending of the final separation of how you kill a god.
It was a model of the final separation of killing a god?
Yep.
That's what Jesus acted out.
Egyptian, remember? Remember, Miriam raised him out of the bulrushes and called it her very own. So that would have been Pharaoh's grandson raised in the house of Pharaoh. When now this same one strolling into the temple, well, it was their house, well, it was their place, strolled in and said, hey, Pharaoh, don't fuck with me, because this is going to get ugly. Then we come into a place where the pissing match was on between Moses' God and Pharaoh's God. Here's what happened. The Passover lamb, God told Moses to kill a lamb, everybody, give a sacrifice of a lamb, and to take the blood of the lamb, the sheep, the baby, from the mama ewe, take the lamb and save the blood, the best one. Everybody get their best one. And after the Passover, the thing is to take that blood and you rub it over the doorpost. And when the Passover comes, then everybody that don't have blood over their door, then their firstborn will fall dead. Now remember, they done had the frogs and done had the water to blood. Let's see. The water turned to blood. Then you had the frogs. Then you had the gnats. Then you had the flies. Then you had the mad cow disease. That's where that came from. Then you went to the hail, raining fire from the heaven. Then you had the death of the firstborn. They had those in an order with the frogs and the flies and the fleas. Then there wasn't a woman who swallowed a fly. Oh, wait, that's a different story. Sorry, hold on. Then what happened is once that happened, and Pharaoh's very own son, the firstborn, which would have been Pharaoh, fell dead, that's when Claudette Colbert really got excited. Oh, wait, yeah, that was Pharaoh's wife, you see, Claudette Colbert. Oh, wait, yeah. Anyway, long story longer. Then what happens is they said, okay, enough. And Pharaoh's God would not raise Pharaoh's son from the dead. They had power to do that, but their God wouldn't do it. So now Moses' God was more powerful than Pharaoh's God. So then Moses walked up and said, you son of a bitch, I told you, don't screw with God. Okay? And then Pharaoh said, Moses, take your people and go. Get out and take the spoils of Egypt with you. Get out. I've had enough. Enough. I'm done with you and yourn. Get out. And so then the Exodus began. And that was the beginning of the Exodus. And how that Passover business worked was the manifestation of a retribution between whose power would reign supreme. And that's from a story from Samaria, from Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia was just north of Samaria, which brought all the way back to Lilith in the second chapter of Genesis, which gives the second version of the creation story.
The one that involves Lilith?
Yes, that's chapter 2. Now, chapter 1 was very, very different. So Genesis chapter 1 gives the creation story. Genesis chapter 2 gives the second creation story. Well, just exactly how many worlds was created? Okay. Now that links all that up, all the way through to Abraham, way before Moses.
You've linked Lilith with the Sumerians?
Yes.
What were the Sumerians?
Before.
Egypt?
Oh, yeah.
So Samaria is one of the first countries, races?
Sure. Well, they had a printing press.
How do you go from Lilith to Samaria to Abraham?
There are no straight lines.
Yes, there are. Depends on how parallel you're running and how you're giving attention to the anomalies. Dun, dun, dun.
So the...
Carol got that, Bob. Sorry.
No, she didn't get this part.
Yes, she did.
The Rousseau's geometry was based on the circle. All lines and everything comes from the circle, folding the circle.
Then they do the dance, too. Oh, wait, that was...
Okay,
the...
hold it. So then Ion's adding a new level source of geometry. It comes from parallel lines.
Yeah.
LaRouche said that geometry comes from the circle, not the line. The line is made from the folding of
the
circle.
With the lindy, with the
well, wait a minute. So Ion is proposing, this is the dun-dun-dun, he may be proposing a new origin source of geometry, parallel lines, rather than the circle. The wheels go round and round, Carolyn, is the misaligned bad geometry, whereas the good geometry is based on parallel lines. So Carol never got that. I got it. I laid it out.
They said that probably, what, 8,216 times so far?
Said what?
The wheels on the bus go round
and
round.
Yeah, yeah. We know that, yeah. The point is, you
but
said Carolyn. Here's the point. Okay. Yeah, hold it. You said Carolyn. Got it. Then I bring up the geometry, which you didn't know anything about that, and you say, yeah, that's significant. So, as opposed to the geometry, which I just contributed, what did Carolyn get?
She was the one that would ask that the wheels, meaning that there are more than one, go round and round. That means that the roundness of the wheels that there are more than one of must be in a parallel trajectory. Otherwise, the bus would go sideways, sideways.
So they go along a line, and then lines are beside one another, equidistant.
Parallel, always.
Distance
what,
between
what
you
he
and
just
you.
Said, what he just said about wheels, Carolyn, I heard nothing about that 5 minutes ago when he said Carolyn got that. I'm trying to find out what he said. When
Carolyn got the running of a parallel line when you jump off the parallel. The other line, if it doesn't move, then you have a distance, a larger distance from way back. Talking about linear lineage, parallel worlds, the linear paths.
And being a beat off if they aren't all lined up.
You got parallel lines, and you said they jump to another geometry, and Atlantis joins up with the Snicker bar, and then you have a radio show. Is that what you were saying?
Yes, if you apply the poison from the Snicker bar into how the Seder or the matzah applies to eating the unleavened bread, that allows the bones of Joseph to be preserved long enough.
So that we could have Will Chamberlain. So Will Chamberlain could do more than 100 baskets in one game, right?
Therefore, Will Chamberlain, sitting on the mercy seat, then had the wonderful linear parallel trajectory to take locust and wild honey and put nuts on it to make a nougat and to dip it in a marvelous cacao whitewash that made what you call Milky Way's version, and they snickered that expression, and that was the Mesopotamian version
of King James Bible, which had been forgot.
Eminem Mars version of Snickers.
That last little funny rant, the last 2 minutes, is basically what everybody thinks I is saying all along. It's that ridiculous. Well, could you go back to the parallel lines again?
Yeah, Will Chamberlain was sitting on the mercy seat.
We'll never get Ion back on track. Whatever is said is created, Joe.
Yeah.
We have established a meme that will be forever referred to. And people will search for the missing Delta Titanium where this was established. We won't tell them it was missing Delta Titanium. The way they all luckily listened in tonight, because Earl and Buzz could tell everybody it was Delta Titanium 51.
And when the Tigris and the Euphrates, there were four rivers, but the Tigris and the Euphrates, when they came together, before Meadowlark Lemon caused the great ending of that ice age, which flooded Eden, which ran them out of the Garden of Eden.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the Globetrotters.
Meadowlark, he's probably a basketball player or something.
The Globetrotters.
Yeah, and who he ran, what caused something, Carolyn? Something flooded the Garden of Eden?
Yeah. The waters rose up and flooded the Garden of Eden. We never asked what got them out of the Garden of Eden.
That became all the way up to the Bosphorus, and it also came into the Persian Gulf. But the Gulf used to be a river. That was a valley. If you drained the Persian Gulf, you'd find the ground, the valley, where the Garden of Eden was. And the reason that it was such a dramatic, huge thing...
When you say the reason it's such a dramatic thing, the Garden of Eden was dramatic, or the flood was dramatic? What are you referring to? What's it?
Being driven out of the garden was bad.
Was vast? Hawaii?
Oh, way better than Hawaii. Okay. They didn't have bugs. So when the ice age ended and all of the water started melting, then guess what? That river that was dumping into the larger ocean rose fast.
The Garden of Eden didn't have ice age in its experience.
No, it didn't. It was a southern climate. But when the glaciers were melting, it raised the water table quickly, so much so that it held it back, held it back, held it back till it got to the mountains. And then it crashed and rushed into, which made the Persian Gulf. That rise of water, it would have been 500 to 1,000 times more water per second than goes through Niagara Falls now. And it almost instantly caused the Persian Gulf.
And that gulf, which is pretty big, most of the bottom is where the big Garden of Eden was?
Where the only Garden of Eden was, yes. It was a valley.
It was a pretty big valley.
Yeah, with Barbara Stanwyck.
No, no, you mean Sophie Loren's cleavage.
No, we're talking about Big Valley. Don't you remember Big Valley, Bob?
Yeah, Sophie Loren's cleavage.
A big valley.
Oh. That's not a big valley. You can ask Jane Mansfield. That was just large creases. It wasn't a big valley. Now, the issue, the only thing that really needs to get settled in that parallel reality that Kellen just brought up, is it with saline or is it with...
Are you saying the virtual tense that Pam has is parallel reality?
Yeah, there are two of them, and they run next to each other. It's one, is it silicone or saline? That's the question.
Or Mamorex.
Mamorex.
So what does Earl Buzz and Allison think of the way we're going in our conversation?
We can't finish a thought for them to make an opinion.
You can't make... What was that, Carol? Could you translate? What did you say?
Ion can't finish a thought to make an opinion?
For them to have an opinion.
You're saying, Ion, they're waiting for you to get to your point?
Any point.
Ah, that's what I felt every time.
Yeah.
I felt hurt there. Oh, yeah? Me? Yeah. Even you, Bob? Okay, so go ahead, Ion.
Meadowlark Lemons, he's from Africa, because that's real close to there. He was from that position, and this had to do with Punta Kinte. Remember roots? Then roots came into play, and they had to spell roots. They had to come into play to validate whether or not they were worthy to hide the Wilt Chamberlain's Ark of the Covenant, where the essence of Snicker bars came from. So if they had a little pool, they had it like cast lots. is an accurate statement of the Hebrew text because it's Hebrew adaptation of the Sumerian roots.
And it gets repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated.
The phrase Sumerian Hebrewoid, that's never been said before.
Right.
And so we're saying it, and it seems funny, well, people hear it, but it's technically accurate according to Ion's Akashic Records. We're hearing your Akashic Records, Ion.
Well, good. And the only difference in our Akashic Records and what you call Akashic Records is our library card is available, and you can check shit out. It's a library that holds all information of all knowing that nobody needs access to.
I agree. Is there much span of time between Lilith and Jesus, the first Jesus?
There is
time.
Bastion. No, there's no time. He said, is there a big span?
Of time.
Yeah. No, we didn't say time. We said there's a big span.
How big is a span?
Maybe 2,000 generations. It's not right, but it's probably at least
something. It's based on something physical.
Yeah, because you're trying to draw two parallel occurrences, and you're asking how wide the wheels on the bus are that go round and round. And we would say 1,000 or 2,000 generations worth of distance between the two parallel events.
Lilith being one event and the parallel event of Jesus, the first Jesus. So the two parallel, there are two events, and everything is parallel in the dodecahedron of the universe.
One place or another, yeah. And here's where the best is best of yet. Best yet. First, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 gives two complete different creation stories. Here's where it starts getting mingled. If there was only Adam and Eve, okay, now Lilith is another one. That would have been Adam's first wife. But then, see, one includes Lilith and one does not. Well, they start mingling it together now, Bob.
What's that sentence? They start mingling together now. You mean today?
The creation 1 story and creation 2 story start from that moment forward being mingled together.
They were mingled by the writers?
Well, it created anomalies.
I'm just trying to figure out why they were mingled and what's mingling them. You know, like this action of mingling, how does that happen?
You read Genesis 1 and it says, God created the heavens and the earth. Now you read Genesis 2 and it says, God created the earth after he had done the heavens and, you know, see the heavens were always were.
So that's more accurate?
But no, we don't. That's what we're saying. The anomalies, both of the stories are pretty much wrong.
But they're different. The two stories are different.
They're different, but yet in Genesis 3, then it comes along, there's only Adam and Eve, according to Genesis 1.
Lilith is mentioned in Genesis 2?
Yes.
That's not just one paragraph. It's a bunch of paragraphs, I guess, a bunch of verses or something.
Yeah.
So there's not a Genesis 1 and Genesis 2.
Yes, there is.
There is? Okay.
They're completely different.
There are two Genesis in the Bible.
No, Bob. There's one Genesis, and Genesis chapter 1 has one creation story. Genesis chapter 2 has a completely separate creation story.
But in chapter 3, or Genesis 3...
They mingle them together.
No, they drop some of it.
No, Bob.
I'm trying to figure out what's mingled.
Genesis 1, chapter 1, and Genesis chapter 2. Two complete stories that become together now become one story. And from that point forward, the whole thing becomes this super-duper anomaly that doesn't make any sense.
Was that written that way to confound the peasants?
The Bible wasn't written for the peasants, Bob.
But whoever it was written for, did the guy who wrote it say, I'll fuck with them by doing this? Did he know what he was mingling and screwing up?
Well, they had so many public opinions they were trying to serve. They didn't want to offend Magic Johnson or Menlark Lemon, so they included both.
All right.
So here you go. You got only Adam and only Eve. Okay? On one version.
What do you mean? Adam and Eve's not mentioned until number 3, Genesis 3, unless you're saying he's mentioned in 1. Is Adam and Eve mentioned in chapter 1, Genesis 1?
Yes.
Is Adam and Eve mentioned in Genesis 2?
Yes.
So, there's no mingling. Naturally, there'd be an Adam and Eve in Genesis 3.
Well, the mingling is, in the second story, that then Eve becomes Adam's second wife. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Not mentioned in 1. And 1, God created the heavens and the earth.
advertise. The people who are listening, you want them to hear this?
Okay, never mind.
I mean, what's your point?
You want to know about Easter. And here's how it all works out. Here's the story of Easter. A man, let's call him Bob, wants to find out about Easter. So he goes and he finds different people to understand, to explain to him from different cultures.
Like my chart. You go around and you see McClure and you see Sappho.
Yeah, and you go through and you figure that out. And this is as close as you're going to get to understanding the Easter story. Okay? So, first of all, they find a Jew. You, Bob, find a Jew. And you say, hello, Mr. Jew man. Would you please explain the way you understand it so I can understand the Easter story? And the Jew says, yes, we can, in our sages of past, we have this well documented problem. We built the temples that brought forth this Jesus, so we can explain it to you. Here's what happened. They had a man, and he ran around, and he took on the embodied spirit of a rabbit. And the rabbit hid magical eggs that the children would run around and find. And they would gather them, and they had prizes in the eggs. And see, the rabbit came first, then the egg. And then after the egg, then there was a chicken. And that's what you used to make soup. And then Bob says, no, 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 that's Jewish chicken soup, the antibiotic of the soul. And no, 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 no. Jew man, you ain't got it right. No, you don't work. That was a nice try, but no, no, sorry. So then he rolled along and he found him a Baptist. And the third one is an Italian.
Okay, good. He gets that one.
He asked the Italian, he says, oh, the Son of God, Jesus, he was born to the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And they hung him on the cross, and then they put him in the tomb. And then that was the Easter week. And Maundy, Thursday, they killed him, they put him in the tomb. And then the Easter story all gets filled and completed. And on the third day, after Jesus was dead and wrapped in the Shroud of Turin, which we have in Turin, of course, and we have all this documented proof, that the angel of the Lord comes down, and Bob's getting excited because now he's going to get the real story, finally and forever. And the angel comes and rolls the stone away, the tomb that was hiding the body of Jesus. And Jesus jumps out of the tomb, and it's a resurrection. And guess what Jesus said when he resurrects? He steps out of the tomb, and if Jesus sees his shadow, then it's 6 more weeks of summer.
And that means Wilt doesn't have to play basketball.
But he still has the skills to pay the bills.
Okay, so can we wrap this up? We found out nothing about Easter, just different variations.
No, it's 6 more weeks of summer. That's on your chart with the Groundhog Day. Dun, dun, dun.
And where have we got?
Another corrupted melting titanium that years and 200 generations of editing couldn't get it
right. It goes into the rated non-physical bin. Rated non-physical.
That people are crying and waiting.
Hey, Carol, that's what the rated non-physical bin really is. It's all the corrupted sessions going there. So how's Earl, Buzz, Allison, and Chad and Hetty?
They're excited that there's going to be 6 more weeks of winter.
He said summer the first time.
But if he doesn't see a shadow, it's winter.
I don't know. You said 6 more weeks of summer. Now you're saying it's going to be winter.
If you're going to quote us, you need to pay attention. He sees his shadow.
No. You said, I don't care what the rule is. You said 6 weeks of summer, right, Cal? You heard that. He did say that. Now you're saying 6 weeks.
He doesn't see his shadow, then it's 6 more weeks of winter.
Yeah, so what? You said that he yelled out 6 weeks of summer. I'm going with that statement.
The qualifier was.
See, I don't know what you're talking about. You said 6 weeks of summer. I'm sticking with that. And then you tried to explain it in 6 weeks of winter.
That all goes back to Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah, I know.
Now that gets cleaned up.
Yeah, but the think of what they've heard.
That gopher is better with groovy gravy.
No.
And what about your other one that we sent you? We sent you one.
I know, you sent... Well, who's we?
You mean... The non-physical sent you.
Yeah, you sent one and JW sent one. Exactly. Is that
JW
right?
JW sent two.
Yeah, and they weren't any good. I listened to them for a couple seconds, and geez, that's crap. I thought, gee, JW is making recommendations, donations, contributions. I said, let's get ours in there. So they said the United States of Tara, because they like Carolyn, who's Tara.
No, then everything will be all right if you learn to enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I mean, these are platitudinous songs. They don't work. We want whatever they are that we got up there now. They've got it.
Shit that nobody can understand. That's
Yeah, that's just like our show. Nobody can understand our show. They get turned on by it if they don't understand it. That's why they keep coming back for more.
Yeah, okay, so maybe if that's not working, then we can try.
It is working, Ion. We're working, doing great. The clients are flooding in, and Ion's are fretting in the corner. I don't think this is working, Bob. We're going to put some other songs in.
it took you a year to get three, so maybe you're on the 40-year plan.
Yeah,
so that's 40. How long will it take us? An hour to no, an hour reading, which lasts 2.5 hours.
Can I put you on hold?